The Obama administration came in with a definite innovation agenda. You see it in countless ways, including the high interest in all things Silicon Valley. Well, that administration comes to a conclusion in a couple of months. What might the innovation landscape look like under the Trump administration? For one view, Jonathan Aberman, chairman of venture capital firm Amplifier Ventures and of the nonprofit Tandem NSI. And of course, you have your pulse on the innovation economy in Washington and elsewhere. And what do you think it's going to look like?
Well, the rumor is I have my pulse. There is a pulse.
There is a pulse there.
That is the big thing that everybody who's listening wondering, is the world changing? The answer is undoubtedly yes, Tom. Is the world going to change in a way that there aren't opportunities for our local innovation providers, both the government contractors that are larger as well as small? I think the answer is that, in my opinion, the change in administration and the change in viewpoint is going to undoubtedly create some really strong opportunities here in the D.C. region.
The things that the government is wanting now under the past 8 years and even longer than that, there's a move toward autonomous systems. There's a move toward robotics. There's cloud computing and new cybersecurity techniques. It's hard to believe that there's anything partisan that would change that fundamental requirement.
Well, I think that the first thing that we all need to know is that the reason why those technologies are being driven by the federal government and by the agencies like DARPA and DHS and others is because our adversaries, the people that are trying to harm us, are taking advantage of those technologies and driving innovation in small and distributed teams around the world. More and more, we see this. So national security needs to keep up. And so whoever the president is and whoever the secretary of defense is, I think it's absolutely clear from my conversations with the various program managers in the agencies that I know that the need for innovation is insatiable. The real question, Tom, is how will the Trump administration interact with the larger government contractors, and also with the emergent innovators and the garage inventors. The Obama administration, as you know, and you mentioned in your lead-in, was highly focused on trying to build bridges with garage inventors and people in small teams, and they perceived, and I've said on the air many times, they perceived it as being narrowly focused in places like Austin, Silicon Valley, and Boston. I've argued on the air and elsewhere, they're innovators here and other places in the country as well. But being that as it may, the Obama administration was very focused on Silicon Valley and product innovation in places like Silicon Valley. And you and I, I'm sure, have talked with larger government contractors integrators who have said, wait a minute, you've actually taken opportunities away from us and highlighting the smaller community. But that's history. Now we're in a situation where Trump has made it very clear, President Trump has made it clear, that he is very much pro-national security and defense. It's very clear that large weapons programs are going to get a boost. We also know so far that the new head of the NSA, General Flynn, is somebody who believes in innovation. You know, when he was the DIA, he worked with Dan Doney, the chief innovation officer, on Needopedia and various initiatives to try to engage emerging innovators. So the early indications, in my opinion, are that the Trump administration will continue to look for innovation, but I do suspect that they will use the government contractor community more as an intermediary to do that. And I also think that if you look at the influence that Peter Thiel now has in the administration, you know, don't forget Peter Thiel's company Palantir sued the government a number of months ago for a contracting issue because they felt like they were squeezed out of an Army contract. So my bet is that a Trump administration will look at acquisition reform and look at engaging in emerging innovators, but probably in different programmatic ways in DIUX and things like that.
We're speaking with Jonathan Aberman, chairman of venture firm Amplifier Ventures and of the Tandem NSI Group in Northern Virginia. Something you said earlier about the need to innovate in defense and bring back, as Trump puts it on his site, is to restore the depleted military. Mm. Now, we had that third offset strategy initiative under Ash Carter. Mm-hmm. It seems like that would be something they would want to amplify on, if maybe give it a new name, because that's what they like to do.
Well, that's exactly what I'm getting at. But the reason why we have the third offset. Maybe they figured it out offsite. I wasn't there. But don't forget the third offset. This is the next generation of the second offset, which was we need to have great technological advantage because we can't have as large military as our adversaries. This third offset is, like I said earlier in the segment, it's a response to the virality and the agility of small teams investing in and investigating using emerging technologies like cybersecurity, artificial life, autonomous drones, and elsewhere to potentially cause harm. So whatever you call this, and you're right, it may have a different name, but the third offset strategy wasn't invented by Secretary Carter. He was expressing policy output of a large establishment, you know, if you and I had talked 5 years ago about this with some of the work I was undoing as a consultant, I would have told you that there were people within the DOD who knew they needed agility. You know, you looked at what went on with the Army Ref, you look at different programs. This is not a new trend. So my view is that when administrations change, the programmatic approach, the personalities may change, but the fundamental gravimetric pressure of the need for innovation abides. The other thing I'll tell you is that we need, from the standpoint of the federal government more broadly, it's absolutely clear moving to the cloud, having more agility is something that many of the agencies now need. And whether or not GSA 18F remains in place or not, the reality is the need for better digital government subsists. And the last thing I'll tell you is that most of the really advanced R&D that drives innovation and drives industrial waves in this country is done by DOD, places like DARPA. That's not going to change. So in D.C., I think we have a great opportunity. There's a reset opportunity for our innovators to get more involved in the conversation and for the government contractor community. And I'm actually pretty optimistic that 2017 is going to be a really good year for a lot of people in this town.
All right. So bottom line, though, is yes, there will be a need for greater digital government. And that's very different from e-government.
Yes.
Because it involves a lot of data integration and so on. But it might come through different channels than directly from the so-called innovators and code creators themselves and through the more traditional players.
It
may. That could be the avenue for them.
It may. Look, what I'm saying is that this is one of the interesting moments in life where all of us who try to prognosticate about what a new administration will do, we put our mind map on what makes sense to us based upon what's logical. I can tell you that what we just discussed and what we know and many of our listeners know is that the logical conclusion is that innovation is necessary for national security and innovation is necessary to make more happen with less in the federal government. We can all agree to that. Whether this administration adopts the changes in acquisition, whether it continues to use outreach facilities and mechanisms that have been adopted, whether or not they focus on these things, only time will tell. But logic allows us to presume that a rational administration that's managed by a businessman will be logical when it comes to addressing innovation.
And while we have you here, Jonathan, you have been a regular guest here on the Federal Drive. You're going to be regular on Federal News Radio writ large.
I am. Obviously, these little segments you and I have done have attracted the attention of others. It's great working with WFED, and we're going to be launching a show Mondays starting December 5th at 2:30 from 2:33 called What's Working in Washington. And I'm going to provide my perspective as a business person here in town, as an entrepreneur, and we're going to look at innovation and business in the D.C. region and try to find those places where good things are happening and help people understand the community better.
And we will be tuning in. Jonathan Aberman is chairman of the venture capital firm Amplifier Ventures and of the nonprofit Tandem NSI. As always, good to have you on.
Thanks.
You can find this interview along with all of our technology and innovation coverage at federalnewsradio.com.